our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliott.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Valerie, you have given us some excellent suggestions as to how you'd try to organize a peaceful and ordered home. And we were talking about organizing time. The three things that I think most women would have the greatest difficulty in accomplishing and hard to know where to put them into a schedule would be devotions, ironing, and correspondence. Mm-hmm. All three of those things seem to be the sort of thing that you can get away with not doing them for
mm-hmm.
a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For me, devotions have to be in the early morning. My mind is freshest, and I'm most ready to have my devotions then. I want to. There are mornings when a clutter pile on my desk might take my attention away from my devotions, but I really try hard to have some Bible reading time and some prayer time. I also take walks in the early morning, which I like to do by myself or with my husband, and we take the dog for a walk. So that has to be done before 6:30 or 6:45 in the morning when the baby starts waking up. But devotions are absolute first, and the ironing and correspondence usually get done. I try to set aside one evening for ironing or one afternoon for ironing weekly, and my daughters help me do it, so it's three of us trying to get the ironing done for the week. And the correspondence I really do put off way too long, and there will be weeks when I say, oh, this week I'm going to write three letters. That will be my goal, to get three letters done. It's a discipline just for me to sit down at the desk and write a letter, because although I like to write letters, there are always other things to take care of and always other clutter things that need to be put away. So I would say devotions and ironing we're getting done pretty regularly, but correspondence I'm not doing too well at. But my girls are wonderful at writing letters, and they will constantly be sending letters out, and they wonder at me when they see my pile of unanswered letters. But I either get them done all at once by writing one formal letter to everybody, or I try to write small notes, postcards.
I was going to say, do you ever use government postcards?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
I think they're a real lifesaver. We have the idea that this is a letter that really needs a long answer, mm-hmm. so I won't write this one now. Mm-hmm. And I find that that's a very dangerous thing. The minute I put a letter aside, thinking that I'm going to have time to write a long, full letter, it's much more difficult to get
forever.
Around to that.
Yeah.
If you write just three or four lines on a government postcard that costs 19 cents at your post office, very often you can at least let the person know that you received the letter and mm-hmm. answer any question they had, and we're still alive, we're fine, mm-hmm. we love you, and here's a thought anyway coming through the mail.
Right.
Well, thanks for that. Now, there's a great, huge question of neatness. I think one of the enemies of neatness in all of our lives is that we have too much stuff.
Too many things.
Just mm-hmm. too many things.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you manage to keep a neat household?
I don't. Oh, for me, it's a constant struggle. It's something that I have to be continually working at, and it's something that I have to really ask God to help me not to get irritated with the children about. I love a neat and orderly home. I'm not naturally neat and orderly myself. And it's only when I take lots of time to keep working at my own room and my own dressing area that it will stay neat. But I tend to go off to check on the children's rooms and work on the downstairs, the den, and the telephone table much more than I work even on my own room. And I will come into my room when it's messy sometimes and think, well, how do I expect my children to keep their own rooms neat if they see that their mother's room is not neat? So I'm not being a very good example. And yet there's so little time to keep my own room neat. But neatness, you know, Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, in a list of things that she felt were important for a mother to concentrate on as she's raising her children, one was she put happiness before neatness in her home. And that's been a challenging thought to me, because it so often seems that when I'm trying to get everybody to get everything in order and neat, I'm not happy. I'm irritated, and it makes them uptight too, because I'm nervous about it. And so it's a challenge for me to happily, sweetly tell everybody to clean things up. And it has to be done 3 times a day, as far as the den, the kitchen area has to be constantly worked at. And for example, right before lunch, the children have to clean up the den. The younger two are the ones that have made it messy. And of course, the older three have school books about that they have to put away. Then it has to be cleaned up again before supper time. Then it has to be cleaned up again usually before they go to bed. So, and their rooms are, I expect them to clean them up before school, after breakfast and before school. And then again, before they go to bed, that something usually needs to be put away. And so, as I said, it's a constant struggle to do it cheerfully without getting irritated at them, and to be firm with them that they should always be putting away. Don't leave everything out until the last half hour of the day when you put everything away. You should constantly be putting things away. And for me, it's just as hard as it is for my children. I can't seem to get on top of it myself.
Is there any area of the house where the children are not allowed to play with toys?
I have said in the past, and I'm afraid I've been kind of inconsistent with it, but I've said in the past that the dining room and the living room are not allowed to be played in. And yet, there are times during school when I have to have it quiet in order to concentrate on math with one of the girls or with Jim, when Evangeline and Colleen, who are the ones that are the players, I've sent them into the living room to play, just to get the background noise out of the way. Although it just never gets as messy as the den does, so they don't bring as many things into the living room. And in general, we keep those two rooms neat and clean most of the time.
Why couldn't they play in their bedroom instead of in the living room?
Often Theo is asleep in Colleen's room, so Colleen can't play in her room. And she has a lot of her little things in her room. So sometimes I'll tell her before I put Theo down for a nap, I'll say, Colleen, if there's anything in your room that you need during school time, take it out now, you know, take it into Evangeline's room. They'll often play in Evangeline's room because there's nobody asleep in there.
Years ago, I suggested to you that one way of teaching children to pick up their toys and put them away when they finished with them, and I think we started by the suggestion that you only have one thing out at a time. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do Legos, mm-hmm. you do Legos. If you're going to do a picture puzzle, you do a picture puzzle. But mm-hmm. you do not start the picture puzzle until you've put the Legos
right.
away.
We still try to follow that.
If a child doesn't do that, my suggestion was that you confiscate that particular toy mm-hmm. for a week. Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. take it away. The child can't play with it for a week. Mm-hmm. Is that a good idea?
It's a good idea, but it's very hard for me to put it into practice.
Why?
Just keeping track of what they've played with, you know, I'm constantly busy, so just keeping track of, let's see, did they get this out with it, did they play with it, or have they put it away, and then are they going on to something else? It definitely works when I've said you may not get anything else out until you've put this away, and they will put away things. And then at the end of the day, the best thing that's worked for me, and again, I'm inconsistent, so I feel like a failure at this, but when I do it, it works wonderfully. I say, everybody needs to clean up the den. If there is anything left out after you've cleaned up the den that you haven't put away, then it will be hidden or put in the giveaway box. And the giveaway box is literally things we give away to other people. And they will scamper and hurry to put away the things that they want to keep, and many times they'll leave things out that are not important to them, and I'll point to it. I'll say, you wanted me to give this away, or you want me to throw this away, and they'll say yes, they don't want it anymore. So keeping things as few and as simple as possible is, of course, the easiest way to keep clutter under control. My two girls don't have a lot of toys, but they make a lot of mess just with paper and material, cutting up paper and cutting up material. They'll make little coats or cloaks for their horses, and so there'll be a big mess of material and scissors and little pieces, scraps of material on the floor.
For their toy horses, you're talking about those little ponies that Colleen's so crazy about?
They used to have more of the My Little Pony set, the things that the popular toy store type. Now they have just regular looking ponies. She got a little set for her for Christmas, and she loves them, and she keeps them all together in a bag with their little things that go with them, and she's quite good about putting it away because they're important to her. But she and Evangeline, I have to stay on top of them constantly to make sure they've put away what they're supposed to put away.
I think I'd have a little argument with Ruth Graham on putting happiness before neatness, because I can't really be very happy if I'm not in a neat room. And that's the kind of a home in which I was raised. Mm-hmm. Neither of my parents could stand clutter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can't stand clutter either. I don't like a whole lot of knickknacks, and I like to go to bed with a clean desk so that when I come in the morning, I start with a clean desk. So happiness and neatness are two things which are very closely related in my mind, and I really do believe that a peaceful home is an ordered home.
But what I'm trying to say is I don't want to be sinfully irritated
or nagging
at myself or at my children for having made a mess.
And
so to lovingly teach them and to sweetly teach them to be putting away all the time. Of course, I'm happy too when things are neat and clean. The children all know that Mama is happiest when the home is clean and orderly. But I want them to see that I love them even when they've made messes. And of course, making messes to them is creative.
Well, we read in the Bible that God is not the author of confusion. So we want our visible lives to be signs of an invisible reality, that peace and order that comes from God Himself.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.